Get ready, America. We have identified the next battleground for your financial future and security. And they're telling us in their own words. And who are they? Larry Fink from BlackRock. And you're not going to like what I'm going to tell you, but these are his words, not mine. And we catch him in one false statement here that really unveils the whole situation. They're coming for your retirement and pension, they're coming for your savings. We've told you one strategy for getting your savings that's already in play in America. We'll review it, and then we're going to get into the new stuff right here on the Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host. We're the show freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Well, Bitcoin is exploding. It has gone from less than 60,000 in just over a year to a high of 111,000. Some people say it's going to 300,000, maybe even a million in 5 years. This is the next development in terms of what's going to create many, many millionaires. And leading the way is My Digital Money. I've been working with them for years. Fantastic operation. No pressure, just facts, no hype, just opportunity. Go to mydigitalmoney.com. That's My Digital Money. Dot com. Well, red alert, red alert. Larry Fink has said, and I quote, "It is time for a second draft of globalization." And he admits, because remember, every falsehood always starts with the truth. He admits globalization is contributing to extreme wealth inequality. True statement. It's come to this country as well. It's much worse around the world. But listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. He said, "The present economy is not working." And I would have to say, au contraire, mon frère, didn't we just balance the budget for the first time in decades in June? So that's a false statement. What is happening with tariffs, which is nationalistic, and he hates it, BlackRock hates it. The international bankers hate it. But what's happened is now the national economy is balanced. We'll be interested to see what happened in July, but this is absolutely fantastic. And these people don't like it because they want dependence. They want the debt to control nations, which controls people. It's that simple. It's a shell game. It's about power. All right, let's get down to what he wants to do. But before, let me remind you of what I told you about before. In the EU, and there's practices like this with organizations like Bank of America, in the EU, Ursula Andress said that we just can't have your inactive savings sit around doing nothing. Well, wait a minute, Ursula. This is why you have savings. You're setting aside for the rainy day or the next generation. It's none of your business what people want to do with saving their money. But she said, we're going to take that untapped over $1 trillion and we're going to put it to work. We're going to invest it for these people. Bank of America says, if you've not been active in a certain amount of time, and that number keeps changing, right? They said that we can confiscate that savings. Now, under Dodd-Frank 2010 and under the UCC Code Section 8, they can do that at any time they so choose. These are the chest pains before the heart attack, to use the metaphor. Now, what Larry Fink is proposing should cause concern for every single American out there. What Larry Fink has said, that we want to take pensions and savings and invest it. He said the way to create wealth equality is to make people investors. Gee, guess who gets to manage the investments? That's right. The biggest asset manager in the world is BlackRock. They by themselves control 75% of all asset management in the United States. When you add in their friends at State Street and Vanguard, it's over 90%. But they want the whole enchilada. This is the next battleground. Most people don't understand how money works. The schools don't teach you. They teach you the, well, I don't know what you call it, the principles of economics, macro, micro, supply and demand, but they don't explain how debt controls people. Okay, they don't, you don't understand things like credit swap derivatives. Has to be explained in very simple terms, and not because people are stupid, but because they've never been taught this. And I believe that the bankers here are betting on your ignorance, that you'll just sit there while they put pressure on government to give them what they want, which is your money, to do what they will. And people say, Dave, why are you so big into crypto and gold and silver? Because they can't take that. Not unless they're going for physical outright confiscation. That brings on a whole different set of dynamics. But they can't take that from you. That's why I opened up here with a word from our friends at My Digital Money. Don, you got to let them have your money. The worst thing you can do right now is if you're in a business deal, and let's say you close the deal for six figures, yeah, 100,000, and you put it all in the bank, go, it'll be safe there. Well, no, it won't. The FDIC has 1.1% of the money on hand to cover all deposits. So if you had bank failures that were widespread and catastrophic, you don't have any protection. That's a fact. What's also a fact is Larry Fink tends to get what he wants. And he's betting that you're not going to figure this out. I'm going to use OPM, and that's a principle in real estate. Other people's money. You put together a limited partnership, you're one tenth of nine other people, and you go out and you start buying homes for investment purposes. Okay? He wants to use OPM, your money, for him to make more money, and he can go as high risk as he wants because if he loses, he doesn't lose his money, he loses your money. Hands off the pensions, hands off your savings. This has to become a battle cry because all politicians will take the path of least resistance. We need to spread the awareness of this. And if what Larry Fink is saying here, quote, it's time for a second draft of globalization, and he goes on to detail what I've told you, let's just say he abandons that plan. Okay, fine. We've stopped it from happening the next time and the next time. They're not going to be happy, in my humble opinion, until they have everything. And you need to share this information far and wide. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show.
Recording progress.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And we're brought to you by a product. We call it the BHMD Wrinkle Filter Script. But I got to tell you, it's more than that. It's about your self-esteem, being proud of how you look. And there's nothing wrong with a little vanity because of the carryover effects. And we've been told our whole lives that the cosmetic industry has the answer. Well, one doctor says that's old news. According to Dr. John Lake, world-renowned Beverly Hills beauty expert, most wrinkle fixes don't work. And so what he's done, he's focused his attention away from the mainstream cosmetic practices so he could develop a revolutionary anti-aging breakthrough, one that says that it'll empty the wallets of the cosmetic industry. It's about time. Anyway, his clients have dubbed this do-it-yourself technique as the age rewinder method because it takes years or even decades off your appearance in under 2 minutes. And in light of this amazing breakthrough, Dr. Lake has signed, well, he's made a step-by-step video, released it to the public, free and uninterrupted, where he outlines exactly how to use this simple solution from home. All he wants you to do is to share this information if it helps you. It's pretty cool, isn't it? There's testimonials flowing in like crazy. So how do you find out more? This is really easy. All you do is go to BHMD1, that's the number one, B as in Barry, H as in Harry, M as in Mary, D as in Dave, 1, BHMD1.com/Dave. Make sure you share the results. You will absolutely love it.
Recording in progress.
We have a real opportunity in America today to right a horrendous wrong from the past. And the horrendous wrong is our tax system. And I'm going to divide it up a little bit in terms of my approach, because I'm not going to take the approach that all taxes are evil. Some taxes are necessary and should be collected and used for the betterment of people. But let's get down to it. First of all, the property tax needs to be eliminated. It's communist in its origin. Karl Marx made it one of the planks of the Communist Party. Why would we imitate it? It's because you never own your property. You are a co-owner with the government. But if you ever default on your part, the government comes and takes what you've paid into that property and takes it away from you, and you must exit. That somehow doesn't seem like an equal partnership to me. And then you get to the notion that you have people that work hard to make this country what it is for their entire life. They reach retirement age. They're on fixed incomes. But because of the illicit practices of the Federal Reserve, which are the Federal Reserve is the major cause of inflation, then of course, budget deficit, and through no fault of their own, their $300,000 house now becomes a $600,000 house, and the property taxes go up by more than a third in proportion. Oh, that's right. In the 70s, when home prices went up 20%, property taxes went up 30%. And people on fixed incomes can't meet that burden, so they are forced to downsize. And who wins? The banks. The transaction process of one owner to the other is a profit for the bank just in the process itself, and the government gets to levy its customary taxes. So property taxes need to be totally eliminated. They're discriminatory based on age, they're discriminatory based on income, and they're discriminatory if you buy into the fact that all races aren't created equal with income, adjustments. Well, what you do? No, you're discriminatory. Race, age, status needs to be gone. Second thing, the income tax needs to be eliminated. Why should the government, doing very little, take your money? And you get almost nothing back for it. All I have to do is say USAID and Doge. Did you not learn enough, or were you not paying attention? The money you pay in isn't coming back to you. So as you drive over that rut that wasn't fixed, and you have to get your suspension fixed or replace a tire, and that's happened to me. Well, where did that money come from that should have, okay, where did it go? It's just all mixed up, isn't it? We don't even know where our tax dollars go. So what would the government do if it couldn't tax your income? Well, let's back up for a minute before we answer that question, and we will. Let's answer this question. How fair is the tax system that we have? It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. When the Federal Reserve people who stole the banking system, and they did, they took it over. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you living under the illusion the Federal Reserve is federal? They're neither federal nor do they have any reserves. They are run by a board of governors. They are privately owned and maintained. The president doesn't even get to make his sole choice for who runs the Federal Reserve, even though technically they're performing a Treasury Department function. And that gives the president executive privilege over that. But he doesn't get it. They give him five names and say, you must pick one of our five names. You cannot bring in your own. And then they arbitrarily set interest rates. They're not elected. They're not accountable. They can do anything they want to the economy. They can cause inflation. They can cause deflation. They can cause a depression. They can do anything they want by control of the money supply. These are the people who also brought in the graduated income tax, the exact same people. Maybe you want to read the old great book by G. Edward Griffin called The Creature from Jekyll Island. It's a factual play-by-play of how we got these illicit systems. So we had a 1% tax when this came in, the income tax, the graduated income tax. 1%. Do you pay 1% today? Oh, they said it'll never go up. 1% is more than we need. We didn't need this. Do you know how we paid our bills from around 1800 to 1913 when the Federal Reserve came into being and did their mischief against the American people? You know how we paid our bills? Tariffs. Uh-oh. Does that make sense why the mainstream media, controlled by the descendants of these same power groups, why they're so opposed to tariffs? It's going to cause inflation. No, it's going to produce jobs. And the mass production here will lower costs. That's the effect. Oh, wait a minute. We already have the proof. Last month, we had the first surplus in decades, $28 billion. Now, that's not a lot in today's money, government operations for the United States, but it's not a deficit. And how was it done? Cutting spending and imposing tariffs. Why should Japan be able to sell millions of cars here in the United States? Why? And we get no cars sold in Japan. Does that seem patently unfair? Why should we have a $1 billion trade deficit with China? Why? Who's the more powerful country? Who could win an economic war of attrition? Well, clearly we could. And the foreign governments know it. And we finally have a president who will stand up to these foreign governments. Why hasn't this happened before? Oh, well, let's recycle. Gee, if we have to, by tax policy and tariff policy, as a owner of a Fortune 500 manufacturing company, have to make our product in the United States, we'll have to follow the EPA rules. We can't just pollute the water and soil the air. No, we're going to have to follow some rules. Secondly, you have to pay people a fair wage. Third, you have to have a safe working environment. And then the next thing is you have to absolutely produce products that are safe and can stand up to scrutiny of federal inspection. Oh my goodness. Gee, it might cost these CEOs and their stockholders a little bit of money if they had to do things the right way. So what they do is they shut down the plants here, they move to a foreign country where they can pay a kid 10 cents an hour at best to work on the assembly line instead of going to school. And don't tell me it doesn't happen. How many hundreds of documentaries have we seen through the years to show this abuse? Well, we have. So we have a system that is wholly, wholly and patently wrong, and we could live off tariffs. But before 1913, the Rockefellers and their clan and their colleagues thought, you know, if we could just get some of other people's money, OPM is what it's called in real estate, we could do a whole lot more. Let's get the government to tax the people and then have the government give us make work projects. Oh, like the war industry. There's always a threat out there. Do you know the Soviet threat, the nuclear threat, although real, was exaggerated by an estimated 68%. The CIA lied to the American people. They lied to the government officials. And so we overproduced. And we always seem to jump from one war to another, don't we? This is what Dwight Eisenhower, when he left office in his farewell speech, said, "Beware of the military-industrial complex." And this is just one example. Let's back up to the Rockefeller era, okay? The John Rockefeller era. And then his son. So the Federal Reserve comes into play in 1913 with the graduated income tax accompanying it. That's not a coincidence. And then we get to the Depression, the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps. Let's put young men to work building parks so we can pay them because the economy sucks, the economy that we caused to crash. Okay, now, having said that, who made the money off these make work projects like building the Hoover Dam. I'm not arguing that wasn't somewhat valuable, but who made the money? Borrowed money, creating to a national deficit in the beginning. Do you know in 1800 a dollar was the same value in 1913? Today, under this existing system, the dollar is worth less than 3 cents. So we've talked about property tax. Okay, let's get into how an income tax is structured. It looks on paper like you don't pay as much as the rich. Well, let's be honest. The poor don't pay anything because they don't have anything to pay. Okay. Who pays the majority of taxes in this country? Lower middle, middle the most, upper middle the second most, upper class very little. Why? Because the system is corrupt. They build in escape clauses from taxes that only the people who have real money and are rich enough can meet those obligations, whether they're offshore savings accounts that are never investigated, or it's charitable foundations where they give away money to themselves to avoid paying taxes. Now, they make it legal, but it sure as heck isn't ethical. And so you have, what was it, Blumenthal said several years ago that my secretary, who makes $40,000 a year, pays more taxes than I do. The system is corrupt. What would you replace it with, Dave? Well, first of all, I would do away with the income tax altogether, and I'd replace it with tariffs. And Trump is already showing this is working. This is absolutely working. If you couldn't do that, then you need to have a flat tax with no deductions. And I mean no deductions. Well, okay, maybe one exception, but once you make one exception, then you make two, then you make 10, and then we're back to the rich paying no tax. What you could do is maybe have a medical exemption. If your medical expenses exceed more than 2.5% of your total gross income, then you get a tax break on what you pay into the medical. Okay, I could live with that. But the reality is it should be a flat tax. If you make $1 billion a year, you pay 10%. If you make 100,000 a year, you pay 10%. If you make 10,000 a year, you pay 10%. Isn't that the most fair system? But the system is wholly corrupt with its exemptions. And the creatures at Jekyll Island knew exactly what they were doing when they set it up. But what we need to work for is no taxes. We have an insane system here in America. It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. Flat tax or no tax, and then have tariffs become a big part of it. When you are the biggest kid on the block, you get to set some rules. And you tell other countries, no, actually, if there should be a trade imbalance, it should be for our benefit, not for you. And oh, by the way, before you can buy an American good, you also have to purchase it in dollars. Uh-oh, that's Bretton Woods 1943 that made the dollar the world reserve currency. This is how you save the dollar. I don't think I'm going to be right on this because I'm not in control of the process, but you don't need to be involved in a gold-backed currency, although I would favor that if we made that shift. But what do you do with the debt? That's the overhanging problem. But I don't think you need to have digital currency. I think it's dangerous in the wrong hands. It becomes economic tyranny. It's an economic dictatorship if the wrong people get in charge. I don't fear Trump, but Trump really needs to reevaluate his relationship with Peter Thiel. Because what Peter Thiel wants is going to give us economic tyranny like we've never seen before. So what you do is you make the other countries of the world, you're going to have to buy American because we brought our manufacturing home. Okay, good luck. Go ahead and start up. How many of your businesses are going to fail in that startup process? Oh, about 9 in 10. So it's easier to buy American products and pay the tariff on top, and you're still ahead if you're a foreign country. It's a pretty simple system, but it's been convoluted. And let's go to the topic of illegal migration for a second. Okay, there's no question. Through the years, the centuries of America, immigrants have made our country much better than it would have been without them. I totally agree with that. But what happened with legal immigration, like what my family had to go through, 7 years of naturalization, not getting in trouble, not breaking the law, and passing a test on US history, the Constitution, and some English proficiency at some level where you can interact in society. And they offered courses for this. If you go back to the old sitcoms of the 60s and 70s, you see some evidence of these courses. We don't have them anymore. Why? Because corporations want to hire under the table so they don't have to pay workman's comp. They're not bound by any union restrictions. They don't even have to pay minimum wage. And they don't have to maintain worker conditions because who are they going to complain to? Someone that might deport them? Yeah, it's totally unfair to how immigrant workers are treated. And see, we don't have any talk about that anymore. Under the Bush administration, when he opened up the floodgates, not as bad as Biden, but he did. Bush did it on behalf of the cronies that got him into Washington, the Fortune 500 companies. They wanted cheap labor. He also gave them prison labor, and that's another topic for another time. But people forced to work under very difficult conditions in prison, okay, to support the profits of the Fortune 500. I covered that extensively about 12 to 15 years ago. But I'm going to leave that aside and stick right with the taxation aspect of it. But illegal immigration enters into this because this is why these people are here, to save money. And then there's the illicit underground dark cartel stuff. I'm not entering that into this discussion because that's a law enforcement issue. What I'm talking about is a restructuring of the economy. Number one, no property tax. Number two, no income tax. Number three, tariffs. And that way you force American manufacturing to come home. And all of a sudden we have a boom. The unemployment is going away. In fact, under Trump, the first 3 years of Trump, black people, Hispanics, and women all experienced record income gains and the lowest unemployment rate for each of those demographic groups in American history. That was fantastic. That's when America is living out its dream, its promise to its people. And it's going to happen again. But the powers that be that make money off this illicit system, they're fighting Trump tooth and nail. Yeah. Isn't it interesting? Everyone says Trump is in the hip pocket of Wall Street. Oh, no, he's not. That is the most uninformed opinion I've ever heard. He is very much working against them, but he's also saying, here's your stick. It's the tariffs, and we're cutting down on illegal immigration. So you're going to lose out on that aspect too. But if you come back to America with your manufacturing, you're going to get great tax breaks in a growing economy. Well, many corporations figured that out in his first term. But the old guard doesn't like it. And certainly the Federal Reserve hates it. They want to be able to manipulate the country for their own personal benefit. See, let's go back to David Rockefeller, the late David Rockefeller. He would sit on the board, sometimes be the president of the Federal Reserve branch in New York. He had business interests across the country, multi-level stuff. It was unbelievable, his power. And one stroke of the pen from the Federal Reserve could increase his profits or decrease his profits. It could increase his profits to the detriment of the American public. What do you think he did? What do you think they all are doing today? Why is Jerome Powell, in an economy that has now balanced its budget on a monthly basis, why is he continuing to keep interest rates high? Because he is sabotaging the Trump administration on behalf of the cronies that run the Federal Reserve. See, I think the Federal Reserve should be done away with. It's not a branch of the government. It's an artificial creation that's an unofficial fourth branch of the government. What the Federal Reserve does is what the Treasury Department and the Secret Service are supposed to do, controlling and printing money. The Constitution of the United States says Congress shall coin money. It doesn't say the Federal Reserve shall coin money and set interest rates and manipulate the system to their benefit. See, this is the kind of education that needs to take place. What was it like from 1800 to 1913? America went from a hole-in-the-wall third world country in contemporary terms to a raging juggernaut by the time the Federal Reserve came in. America was just flexing its muscles and becoming a power player on the world stage. And then along came the Federal Reserve and retarded that growth. We got back to dominance after World War II because the other nations of the world were destroyed. And it was pretty much us that were untouched. I mean, Europe was in ruins. A lot of Asia was in ruins. Central and South America, no factor because their economies were so far behind anyway. And it was just us. Well, we can make it just us again without firing a shot, having one war. We could just do it economically. But we can't keep defeating ourselves as a nation on behalf of the few rich that benefit from a corrupt tax system and a corrupt Federal Reserve. It's pretty simple. But see, these are the lessons you didn't learn in high school. These are the things you don't learn about how the system works generally until you're taking graduate courses in economics. Because if that wasn't true, then why don't more people know what I'm talking about? Sign up for our newsletter, thecommonsenseshow.com. Click the link for the newsletter in the upper right-hand corner. It's free. It's one-stop shopping, and you don't have to come back multiple times a day for our multiple news entries. You just get it all sent to your email box. All you got to do is put in your email, and no, we do not sell your data ever, and we never will. And people love it. Over 50,000 people taking advantage of it. You should too. We'll see you back here next time. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that's freeing America. At least we're trying really hard, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you check out our newsletter. Go to thecommonsenseshow.com, click on the newsletter link, put your email address in, and you'll receive a recapitulation of everything we've done in the past 24 hours, and you'll get that email every day. Over 50,000 people are doing it. And best of all, it's free. One-stop shopping. You want to do that today. Have a question for you. Do you think the US is ready for World War III? Well, I've been investigating that question. And as you know, I prefer trade over fighting. I prefer discussions over lining up alliances. I absolutely think we suffer across the planet from really bad leadership. I do not think I, well, I do not include Donald Trump in that bad leadership example, but the previous administration, they tremendously weakened our defensive posture. And because I'm opposed to war doesn't mean I'm opposed to self-defense. And sometimes self-defense has to be preemptive, read between the lines. Don't advocate for it, but I don't back away from it either. And I don't think this president will either. But we have significant challenges that we have to deal with. We're brought to you by My Digital Money. My Digital Money is a great company that deals with Bitcoin and crypto and all those things like XRP and Ethereum, the whole nine yards. They're the most ethical organization out there in this field. They can convert your IRA or 401k that's losing money in the bank because it's backed by the dollar. And the banks can take it anytime they want under the Dodd-Frank Law 2010. And they can convert that to an appreciating asset. It's a good deal. It's a great deal. And you should be accumulating Bitcoin, crypto, all types, because it's exploding in value. And not only that, the mining is reaching an apex. Supply and demand, what's going to happen to the value? Now's the time. Go to mydigitalmoney.com. That's mydigitalmoney.com. Take advantage of this while you still have the opportunity. Well, in asking the question, are we ready for war? I don't want war, but I want us to be able to defend ourselves. So I'm going to go through some of the things that needed to be considered. And then we'll do some analysis from some of the expert sources I found. And we even have mainstream media involvement here. I found sources of information from the New Yorker, the New York Times. Well, I put a question mark on that. Business Insider, AP News and releases they have, and the Washington Post. From the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, and public statements that have been made from Donald Trump as well. But let's get down to it and see what we are dealing with. Because I believe both China, because China's economy is devastated, they're in free fall, And now you've got Russia. They're desperate. They're running out of resources. Trump is trying to strangle their oil sales. That's the only thing keeping their economy afloat and their military efforts afloat right now. They're both caged animals. They're like wounded animals, and I'm afraid they're going to strike out. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did not form an alliance to do it together. So I think it's a legitimate question to ask. So let's look at three key areas here of U.S. readiness with a war. Number one, military structures and nuclear deterrence. The U.S. maintains a nuclear triad of ICBMs, Minuteman III, and LGM 35s, GBSDs, Sentinels in the developmental ballistic missiles. Now, they're submarines. I don't know how many subs are armed with nuclear weapons, but I know like the Los Angeles class has up to 24 nukes. Some have eight. Each one of these nukes can take out a city the size of Phoenix. They're significant, and these subs are hard to track, unlike the Chinese and Russian subs that sound like a garbage truck at 6 a.m. In 2025, enduring stockpile includes approximately 3,700 nuclear weapons, while another estimate says it's really closer to 5,200 total warheads deployed, reserve, and retired. However, arms control frameworks are diminishing. The New START Treaty is the only major remaining agreement and is due to expire in February of 2026. And I think that's an oversimplification and an irrelevant reference. If a nation is going to go to war, they don't care what treaty they're in. If they feel their national survival is at stake, to heck with the treaty. So I think that that is something that I hear that a lot when I research this. Well, we're safe until February of next year. No, we're not. If Putin decided tomorrow the only way to preserve Russia is to start a war using tactical nukes on Ukraine, scare the heck out of NATO, and hope everybody backs down, he's going to do it. So is the CCP. Treaties mean nothing. Okay, let's look at defense production and readiness. Defense industries, despite Trump's emphasis on ramping up where Biden was going the other direction, they're struggling to keep pace. The U.S. has significantly depleted its Javelin and Stinger missile stocks by supporting Ukraine. We said that this was going on. We have an ammunition shortage as well, too. And I raised the question, no, I don't approve of Russia invading Ukraine. Yes, I think the world should have stepped up and helped stop it. However, it shouldn't have fallen on us. And again, it fell on the U.S. taxpayer. And now we're facing defensive shortfalls because of this. And I blame not Ukraine. I blame NATO. Now, finally, NATO's coming around, but guaranteeing you're going to put 5% of your defense, excuse me, of your national budget into defense. Well, that's over the next year. That doesn't help us in the next 6 months if we had to use these weapons that are depleted for a war effort. This is a big problem. We have air defense shortages, Patriot missile systems. That's acute. Ramped up production has started. But the difference between production and deployment and readiness, that's huge. We don't even have a time estimate on this. The defense industrial base faces systemic challenges, outdated procurement systems. Yeah, like USAID. Yeah, that's right. There's corruption there that they're uncovering, insufficient production capacity, and what we call structural inertia. We're not moving forward with new ideas because we don't have the money to get them from the drawing board to the factory and into the battlefield. It's a problem. Now, there are geopolitical challenges in the third and final categorization of this, and there are strategic gaps. You don't think our enemies know this? Of course they do. Experts warn the U.S. could be caught on its heels in a prolonged multi-regional conflict when Biden killed business with his policies of no oil production. Okay, I'm sorry. You have to have oil to fight a war. And that's exactly why we won World War II. And we won it on two fronts because we outproduced the enemy. Right now, we're in a deficit capacity to do so. We would have a hard time maintaining a one-front war with the lack of energy resources we have on the table for use at this time. Is Trump working on it? Yes. But Biden took us the opposite direction. The Keystone Pipeline is probably the best example, but not the only example of this. And this hurt national defense. Now, are we serious about defending ourselves, or do we really want to be conquered because of attrition? I worry about the Chinese being able to bring attrition to the table to defeat the United States. I think that's the only way they can do it. Technologically, we're still better. But attrition, it's an issue. And I don't just blame Biden. I don't think Trump could have seen the future, but I wish he'd have spent more time developing weapons in his administration. Bush was worse. And you go back in time, Clinton's agreements with the Russians were terrible, as was Jimmy Carter's. So we've been on this downhill slide for some time now. There's a growing concern that a limited nuclear exchange could escalate unpredictably. And given modern doctrine shifts and weakened arm controls, the world could be in trouble. Let me just say this too. I think thinking about surviving a nuclear attack is almost a fool's errand. But in the case that it's not, the Russians have done drills where they put 40 million people inside mountain structures designed to try to survive a nuclear attack. When's the last time the United States did a nuclear readiness drill? I can tell you, it was the 1970s. Oh, they have their places, Mount Lemmon and other facilities they can go to. Congress has their new meeting place lined up deep underground, as does the elite, as do the senior members of the executive branch. And then, of course, the Supreme Court even has its arrangements. But what have they done for you? They haven't done jack squat. So the Russians have at least planned to help as many civilians survive as possible, although I do think it could be a fool's errand. The Chinese have not. They're like we are with civil defense. First, the CCP's value on life. I think that speaks for itself. That doesn't surprise you. I'm surprised that we haven't engaged in this. I think the building of the dome, it's not going to help us in the near future. Our version of the Iron Dome that protects Israel, I think it's a good move by Trump in the right direction, but we're talking years to implement, and it's extremely expensive. So we look at this. I'll review this in one sentence here. A 2025 congressional risk assessment underscores the risking and rising complexity of threats, including cyber attacks, attacks from space, missile and multi-domain attacks with all the above. And this came directly from the Director of National Intelligence. This is Tulsi Gabbard speaking. She said, "We have shortfalls. We have concerns. It's public. It's well known. Our enemies know it before you knew it." Could we make countries miserable? Could we have mutually assured destruction? Probably. Is that the way we really want to live? You know, I believe what Trump is saying, peace through strength. You need to make the other person afraid to attack you. It's scary. We live in very, very scary times, and we went the wrong direction in the last several administrations. Obama right there with Biden. We live in a dangerous world, and we didn't act like it. And we did too much laying down and capitulating to the enemy than standing up. And Trump's move towards tariffs, which I think is fair, because he's allowing the Chinese to make good money, but just not have a $1 billion trade deficit. I think it's the right kind of move, but he can't fix everything that quickly. I would say this to all of you. What's my takeaway from this? And I hope it becomes your takeaway. I pray that war does not happen. I would encourage diplomacy. Trump is trying with Putin. He's trying his best. They're talking to the Chinese on trade agreements. There's an effort there. Pray that it's successful. But in the case it's not, food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine and tools, and maybe some iodine pills. Let's hope we don't need them, but I think you better get ready just in case. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. And we're happy to come to you. Check out our TV show at thecommonsenseshow.tv. and we'll see you back here again next time.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We're brought to you by my friend Chuck Norris. By the way, I got to know his son really well at a conference I went to with Timothy Alberino about 3 years ago. It was fantastic. And he's raised some good kids. Chuck Norris has also raised some other good things, good points on how to stay healthy. Now, a lot of you just think of him as an accomplished actor, and he was very successful. Right? Walker, Texas Ranger. Yeah, pretty good show. Lasted a long time. He was also one of the top kickboxing champions in the history of the sport. Some people say he was number one, and I agree with that. I was a big, big fan when I was younger. But he has now taken to helping people with their health, and it started when he was helping his wife, and she was completely debilitated. He says, we're going to work on this. And he found three foods that should be in nobody's diet. And he is, I don't think, to be doubted. If you look at the guy in his 80s, he looks like he's in his 50s. In fact, I don't think I'd want to meet him in a dark alley. But anyway, he went to work on this research about the three foods that we should totally avoid. And he wants to share that with you in a video. And the video costs nothing to watch. All you have to do is go to chuckdefense.com/Dave. That's chuckdefense.com/Dave. Now, I can't believe we have an ally in my battle against AI. Now, I'm not totally opposed to AI. What I'm opposed to is what 10,000 scientists are opposed to that signed a document. When Biden came into office, they said, hey, Mr. President, we're really concerned that AI could become dangerous, out of control, and pose an existential threat to humanity. And Biden's people just ignored it. Like, it never happened. Even the mainstream media reported it, and then I think they realized, whoops, we're not supposed to go there. So after a couple of weeks of talking about this, the subject died. Well, it hasn't died with an unlikely ally. And I'm, hello, President Trump, would you please listen to this? Because this is important. I think you're listening to the wrong people on this topic, such as Peter Thiel. I think you need to be listening to what reasonable people are saying. Three of the top researchers on AI for the PLA, that's their military. So this comes out of the equivalent of the Chinese Pentagon. And they just came out in an article that was written on called the South China Sea publication. And they said, we are concerned that AI could get out of control, and in a combat situation, they could kill indiscriminately, kill humans indiscriminately. And the Chinese are doing a lot of work on replacing battlefield soldiers with AI. And there's an internal debate. They said that they're having this ongoing discussion in the PLA about how far they let the robots go with regard to intuition, decision-making, and sentience, overall sentience. I could not believe this. I almost fell out of my chair when I'm reading this. Oh, wait, these people did not speak out without the permission of the CCP. This was not random people deciding we're going to go rogue and tell the world that what we're doing could be potentially dangerous. This was calculated. And if I were to step back and take a 30,000 foot view and say, what do I think is really going on here? I think the Chinese are worried about how far we in America are going to take this, because they don't want to get left a step behind, but they also recognize the existential danger. And I think that they're trying to start a dialogue. But my biggest concern in this right now is who President Trump is potentially listening to. And Peter Thiel's accomplished a lot of great things, but I haven't heard him talk about firewalls for AI intelligence, particularly in combat situations in which this could be turned back on humans. Haven't heard him talk about that. And yet, I'm hearing the communist Chinese talk about this. And we know Peter Thiel advises President Trump on a lot of things. Also, stablecoins, which I am patently opposed to for the reasons I've already stated, another subject, another time. And I think that President Trump needs to step out. I don't say he needs to ignore Peter Thiel. I don't think he should ban him from the White House. I don't think any of that. But I do think that President Trump needs to get a more balanced view. And there should be dialogue between the Chinese and Americans. But then again, too, even if you reached an agreement, much like the old SALT agreements between the former Soviet Union and the United States on nuclear arms limitations, even if you could reach agreements like that, could you really trust the Chinese to play by the rules? I would say their history says no. And particularly when we are adjudicating cases right now of agroterrorism, where they've tried to poison our food supply through university researchers, I think they're shown they can't be trusted any farther than you can throw them. The problem is this is an existential threat to humanity. And this isn't just science fiction any longer. We're talking about if you give a computer a math problem, and Google has done a really good job of illustrating this, and they've made it public. They're not trying to hide anything. I'm going to give Google credit. They've made this public. They gave certain computational problems that would take a standard computer centuries, centuries. Did you hear what I said? Not years, centuries to solve. And their quantum computers can solve these problems in under 5 seconds. Okay, transfer that processing speed and accuracy imbalance to future technology, to present technology, and then project that into the world of AI and robotics and soldiers. This is why 10,000 scientists 5 years ago signed a petition saying we need to really put limits on this. But then again, too, if we put limits on it and the Chinese or Russians don't, then we have a military disadvantage. It's a heck of a mess that we've backed ourselves into. I'm not sure what the answer is. And I'll tell you, there's a biblical phrase that comes to mind. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities of darkness. And then in Revelation, it goes on to say a few chapters later that if Jesus didn't return for the second time, there would be no flesh left alive. That phrase has new meaning for me now. No flesh left alive, as opposed to what I thought it would have meant 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. Flesh left alive as opposed to silicone. I wonder if this is a prophetic statement in the book of Revelation, and that certainly is characteristic of that chapter. Anyway, tell me what you think. I'd like to hear your comments on this. Are you as concerned about this as I am, or am I the boy here, the lone boy crying wolf, and this is no problem? But I will tell you this, the Chinese are saying it's a problem. 10,000 scientists in America say it's a problem. What say you? And why? Thanks for joining us. And if you have not joined our newsletter, you can do so very easily and free of charge. Just go to the commonsenseshow.com, click the link, the newsletter link in the upper right-hand corner, put in your email, and I promise you, we do not sell your data and we never will. And you'll get a once-a-day email, late afternoon, early evening, depending on your time zone. And it will tell you everything that we've done in the last 24 hours. And it's a complete recapitulation. It's one-stop shopping. People love it. And over 50,000 people are taking advantage of it. You should too. We'll see you over there. And thanks again for joining us. See you back here in the next segment.